presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for listening to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast and allowing us to speak into your life. We do want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat and Electric, 632-9538, 632-9538. I was thinking about this the other day, and as I was praying in our church, actually, because when I first came to the church, and up until a few years ago, we had some very, very old air conditioning units. One of them went back to 1982. One of them went back to 1987. That's how old they were. And they still did an okay job. What our AC guy had showed us was that they were using a great deal more electricity. They were costing us more money. And he said, you know, if you will change out these units, you will actually save money in the long run. And so none of us like to bite the bullet and pay for equipment replacement and stuff like that. But let me just encourage you, if you are using some antiquated equipment, you might want to consider the stewardship possibility of getting that unit replaced to where it actually pays for itself in a long term. We calculated that it would take us about 3 years to pay for our unit, and so at this point in time, we are now on the plus side of that, where we are reaping the rewards for higher efficiency. My electric bills at the church are lower now than they were before. And so I'm just here to try and help you out with some insight. And so if Wyrick Air, Heat or Electric can be a blessing to you in that area, please don't hesitate to call them at 632-9538. They travel all throughout the county here. So do you realize that today is June the 30th? And that means that we are halfway through 2016. It just seems like Christmas was here, and now we are halfway through the year. And so, it's one thing when you look like yesterday we were halfway through the week. It's another thing when you look and you say, oh, we're halfway through the year. But we also need to be realizing that we need to number our days. You don't want to wake up and say, you know, I'm going to put this off and I'm going to put this off. And then you wake up and you're half or three quarters of the way through your life, and you still haven't dealt with those important realities that God wants us to deal with. So with that being said, if there's some course corrections you need to make in your life to make the latter part of 2016 an effective part of your year, go ahead and make those adjustments. It'll be well worth it. So I will be asking for your prayers today as I'm recovering from surgery. So this one is being recorded before I have the surgery. So I'm in recovery mode right now. So if you would pray for my eye, that would be greatly appreciated. I once heard a person that said, I'm so spiritually important, I don't need you to pray for me. And I've adopted the exact opposite mindset. And that is, I'm a servant of the Most High God. I need all of the prayers that I can get. Paul prayed for people, or asked people to pray for him, that effective open doors of ministry would be opened, and that he would have the boldness to walk through those. So if you would pray for my vision, pray for my family, my extended family, as there's some health situations that we're dealing with there. If you would pray for Merit Assembly of God, that we would have the heart to walk through God's open doors. We'd have the resources and the personnel to walk through those doors so that we can be effective for the King. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 22 again. We're going to begin reading in verse number 20 and go down to verse 23. It says, "Then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe, strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut. He shall shut and no one shall open. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house." So now we talked yesterday about the covering and the strength and the responsibility that Hilkiah was going to have, that at one point in time had been Shebna's, but due to his unfaithfulness and his own concern with, you know, his importance and his legacy and his prominence after he was done with his life, that God was going to remove him and place Eliakim in his place. We talked about the responsibility. Now we are going to discover what some of those responsibilities are. It says, "He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of David. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of David." And, you know, we can't have too many spiritual fathers in the community. And in fact, there's a tremendous drought. Thank God for godly women. I know that there are a lot of people who have come back to faith in Christ because they had praying mothers. And so, ladies, by no means take this as a slight. In fact, don't even take this as a gender-specific compliment. But we need godly, spiritual parenting skills, people who will speak the truth to us even when we don't like it. Let me tell you that we're not called to be dictators as parents or spiritual parents. That's not what we are called to be. We are called to be disciplers. As a father disciplines his child, so the Lord disciplines his people. We are in the discipleship business. And so you might be going to a church, but I want to ask you this question. Are you growing? Are you being discipled? Because that's what spiritual fathers do. You know, and again, you know, you can be a woman who has that type of influence. You can be a man that has that type of influence. I'm not talking about biological fathering here. I'm talking about spiritual fathering. And what God was saying here is, I am going to position this priest in such a manner that he is going to be a father to the city. He is going to be a father to the nation. I'm pretty thankful for Billy Graham. I think that Billy Graham has demonstrated a tremendous amount of integrity. I believe that he has conducted himself well. And when I was in Bible college, now I'm from a Pentecostal college, but he came to the Assemblies of God. And I still remember Billy Graham coming. We had a joint service between all three of our colleges there in Springfield, Missouri. I remember Billy Graham coming because, you know what? He wants more than anything. He wants people hearing about Jesus Christ and availing themselves of the opportunity to hear the gospel. You'll never know how many countless man hours went into putting on those crusades, how many dollars were invested, the movies that were produced, you know, the visions that God had given him to have all sorts of opportunities. I can remember Christian movies that were put on by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, because he wanted people to know that there was a better way to live than the way that the devil wanted them to live. We need spiritual fathers. Too many people make the mistake of trying to be a friend to their children instead of being the parent to those children. And if we take that over and bring it into the spiritual realm, there are too many people who are trying to be friendly with the world in an unredeemed condition than they are in confronting the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, if I was drowning, I wouldn't want somebody just to row over in a boat. I've never used this analogy. This is just, I wouldn't want somebody and row over to me in a boat and just continue to leave me drowning and flailing in the water and say, well, I just want to be friendly with you while you're dying here in the ocean. Wouldn't want that. That doesn't sound like love. That sounds like apathy. And so I want to encourage you that if God has given you a position of responsibility, don't treat it like a dictator. You're not supposed to exasperate your kids or your spiritual children. You're not supposed to provoke them to wrath. You are supposed to we are supposed to provoke one another to good works and to faith in Jesus Christ. It is supposed to be iron sharpening iron. And so I pray that I'm getting better at being a spiritual father and not getting worse at being a spiritual father. And there are all sorts of different stages. And I've told you about this on previous broadcast. The stages of my children's lives, it affects the way that I treat them as a father. And so, you know, my son right now, some of his time is spent getting up in the middle of the night and making sure that our grandson is changed and making sure that his wife gets to get some rest and he gets up and feeds our grandson during the night as well. And so those are all sorts of skills. But one day he's going to be teaching him how to mow a yard. One day he's going to be teaching him how to do his homework. There's going to be all sorts of skills that he's going to have to. And one day that our grandson will be an adult, and he will be teaching him how to make decisions, how to read the Word of God, how to be a man of God. There will be all sorts of different stages that goes on in that. I saw a video in one of my emails that came out. I didn't see it until after Father's Day was over. With everything that was going on in our family, some of my emails got backed up. And so last week I had some opportunity. It was when some health issues had arisen with my dad. And so as I was in the office, I was praying. I was trying to keep my mind occupied as well. And so I began to process some backlogged emails. And one of them was an email on fathers and some of the opportunities and the blessings and some of the things that you get to do. And it was just an awesome video. And a guy a guy who's an expecting father said, you know, what's being a dad like? And I believe at the end he says, how much time do you have? Because it is an awesome, awesome privilege. As a pastor, can I tell you what my greatest joy is? My greatest joy is not preaching the word, although I love to preach the word. My greatest joy is not seeing people come to the altars, although I really love seeing people come to the altars, give their heart to Jesus. I love seeing them take spiritual steps and spiritual progress. I absolutely love that. My greatest thrill as a pastor is when I watch people in our congregation lead other people to Christ. And when they disciple them, that's my greatest joy, because I see maturity in them, and I see that they are growing and they are becoming like Christ. And, you know, so some of our men are training some of our young men in the church. We have a number of young men who don't have fathers in their day-to-day life. And so some of the men are stepping up as spiritual fathers, and some of them are teaching kids how to mow lawns. And we've taught them how to handle tools and be men and study the word of God. And there are others who are a little bit older and they're learning some different skills. We've taught them some of the basics of aerodynamics. And, right now there's some people, and they've been teaching some of the young men to have a work ethic and how to follow instructions and how to be faithful in your finances. And that stuff just lights my fire. It's like, thank you, God. We need spiritual grown-ups. If I can put it this way, we need spiritual grown-ups in our community. And fathers in Jewish culture, their responsibility was to train the child in all aspects of the family business. Not just the child's favorite aspect, but they trained the child, they trained the son in order for the son to be familiar with how every aspect of the family business operated. And at that level, they were basically considered no different than a servant, but it wasn't until they were skilled in every aspect of the family business, and then they would make this statement, "You are my son in whom I am well pleased." And that's what spiritual fathers do. They want people to be trained. So we want people to be trained worshipers. We want them to be trained prayers. We want them to be trained in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. If you don't have a spiritual father, if you're young, let me put it in a different language. If you do not have someone who is mentoring you or teaching you in your walk with Christ, if all you're doing is gleaning from sermons on Sunday morning, you need that one-on-one time. You need that one-on-one insight. I thank God for my father, but I'm also thankful for my pastor. I remember driving down the road with him and him teaching me about facility maintenance. I remember him, you know, I remember walking into the gymnasium one day when I was interning, and he had a full staff at this point in time, maintenance people and all sorts of things. And we had a gymnasium, and there were basketball goals in there. And I remember walking into the gymnasium one day, and he set up the scaffolding by himself. He was probably, you know, thought he was really old then. Now he's about the same age that I am. He was probably about 55, and he had climbed all the way up to the top, and he was replacing the ceiling tiles that the kids had knocked out the previous night during youth ministry. And I remember practical lessons like that. You need somebody who can give you insight, because I guarantee you, if you're just trusting in Sunday messages, if you are just trusting in what you're going to learn at Bible school, there's going to be a lot of things that they leave out. He says, "The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut, and no one shall open. Now, if you turn to Revelation chapter 3, in verse number 7, it says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. So there's two things that I want to share with you about this, is that Hilkiah was going to have the responsibility. You see, priests had the responsibility to open the temple every day so that the people could have access. And there were three different stages in the temple construction. There was the outer court, and that was a place of a lot of activity. It was a place where Jewish people could worship, Gentiles could worship there. There was a lot of activity. It was a very loud place. It was a place with a great deal of activity. And then there was a holy place, and there was spiritual things began to take place. But the deeper you went into the construction of the temple, the less access there was. There was more restrictions. It was a more intimate place. And finally, you get to the Holy of Holies, and that was a place where only the high priest could go in, and he could only go in once a year. And maybe one day we'll do some teaching on that. But you and I, Hilkiah, he had that access. He had the ability to open and to shut things so that no one could open. Do you realize that you have the opportunity to shut your mouth and not say a negative word? Do you realize that you have been given that sort of control? Do you realize that you have been given the ability to shut your eyes so that you can't see, or you refuse to see things that God would not be pleased with you seeing? You have that ability. It is not an uncontrollable stronghold. God can give you the victory over that. He wants to demolish strongholds. If you are using your computer as an access for pornography, you need to allow God to shut that thing. There are some practical steps that you could take. First of all, you could put filters on your computer. You could position your computer in such a place that you are never alone with that computer. You can remove television stations from your cable programming or your satellite programming. Get that stuff out of your life. Lock the door. Don't give yourself a chance to wean yourself off of it. Just shut it and replace it. God had given that responsibility to Hilkiah. It was a spiritual authority that no one could override. And in Revelation chapter 3, God is saying to the church of Philadelphia, which is the city of brotherly love, it says, it's talking about Jesus, and he says, he has the key of David. Same thing as it says here in Isaiah 22. He has the key to the house of David, and he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I encourage you today to partner with God, to be in charge of the doors and the access points in your life. Not everybody who comes into your life is going to be a God-given divine encounter. There are satanic plants that the devil will try and instill wolves into a fellowship. He will try and instill people of deceptive and ungodly means into a person's life to distract them from pursuing God. I encourage you that if you have those sorts of things going on in your life, shut the door. Open the door. This was a rabbinical type of authority whatever was loosed in heaven would be loosed on earth, and whatever was bound in heaven would be bound on earth. And so I encourage you to avail yourself of the responsibility, the privilege that God has given, and shut spirit negatives, dark, satanic, spiritual forces out of your life, and open the windows of heaven so that the Spirit of the living God can be poured out afresh and anew. When you have reached that level of resolve, it says no one can undo that sort of decision. You know, so I am extremely open-minded. I am open to all of the things that God has for me. I am extremely closed-minded when it comes to the temptations that the devil has for me. I don't want to have anything to do with them. I've tasted and seen the goodness of God. Therefore, the secondary is never going to be satisfactory for me. I hope that you have reached that place where temptation has been forever ruined in your life because you have seen the goodness of God. It says, I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house. Now listen to me, because when we talk in chapter 24, or in chapter 22 here, from verse 24 on to the end of the chapter, if you don't pay attention to what takes place, you're going to be thoroughly confused here. God says, I am going to position him, and I am going to fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he is going to become glorious. You and I will never become glorious hopping here and hopping there and never putting down roots and never growing and never becoming fruitful. We need to let God be the one who places us, who fixes us, because wherever he positions us, it's going to be a place of increase, not a place of decrease. It says here that he will become a glorious throne to his father's house. It doesn't mean that he was going to, when he is positioned that way, that he would already be that. God is a God who is interested in you and I becoming everything he wants us to be. I've told the story before. I'll tell it again. A man came into a strange town. He waved a guy down at the gas station. He said, hey, you know, I've never been in this town before. Were there any famous men born here? And the man scratched his head and said, no, sir, just babies. We want to focus on the end, but God is focused on the becoming. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so I want to encourage you today. What has God helped you to become? How have you developed in your relationship? He's got even more glorious things in place. If we will let God position us, if we will let him give us our marching orders, he will take care of all the results and the fruit that come about it. He's the Lord of the harvest. I want to be faithful. You be faithful. And God is going to make something beautiful out of your life and my life. God bless you. Have a marvelous day. Pray for me today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.